Good morning, church. Our reading this morning is taken from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen.
Okay. Morning again.
Morning.
Thank you, Sharon. For those who are not aware, Sharon is my wife. Oh, did you? Oh, no, you didn't say that. No, I didn't. I did note that. Two weeks ago, our young people and Nathan, they led our service, and it was on the theme of introducing the fruit of the Spirit. And you might have remembered, Nathan's photograph. Did you see, you remember that photograph? Well, my wife said, oh, you need to do one yourself. Okay, I did, I have, but I've not got it on the PowerPoint. So if you want to see that picture, you can come and ask me later on. The context, it was an AI-generated photo for those who weren't here. And Nathan plays tennis and he's into fitness. And he had a photo when he was younger, he said, and he looked really buff and like incredibly muscular. And it was from an AI-generated thing. So I've done the same, but I'm not putting it on the PowerPoint. So Nathan introduced us to the fruit of the Spirit, sharing about the Holy Spirit and love. Today, we're going to continue in Galatians 5, and our particular focus is what it means to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Oranges, not apples. Repeat, oranges, not apples. And hopefully, as I go through, you'll understand why. Oranges and apples, you'll understand. Okay. Paul presents us with a contrast: the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. He also warns about a narrow ledge. This isn't, is it on? Turn it on, might help. Okay, no. It's missing a battery. Excuse me a second. That way round. Let's put the cover on it. There we go. There. He warns about a narrow ledge that we must walk. You wouldn't find me on a ledge like that. As people know, I don't like heights. That is not comfortable to me. I think that's, from what I think I Googled, and I think that's Snowdon, I think. Is it one of the ways up to Snowdon? When I was younger with my son, we did go to Snowdon, and we were planning to walk all the way up, and we went on the train, and by the there's a halfway stop for the train, if you've ever been to Snowdon. I couldn't go higher than that one, because, and he said, oh, look over there, look at that. No, I'm fine, Daniel. I was sitting on this side looking at the, what, and he was looking over the edge, not for me at all. But there's this narrow ledge, and in the reading, and in the commentaries, it sort of releases this. It says, there is a narrow ledge. One side is the law, trying to produce righteousness through effort and rule-keeping. And on the other side is license, assuming grace allows us to live however we please. So one side, it's the law, trying to do it. Oh, I've got to keep everything. I've got to do everything. And the other one is, actually, it doesn't matter. You can do what you want. Because at some point, all you've got to do is say, oh, forgive me. And there's this ledge, this narrow ledge. That's what he's encouraging us. That's where you should be walking. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. The Christian life is not about trying harder in the flesh. It's about walking in step with the Spirit. Walking in step with the Spirit. And this brings us to my picture for today. The oranges, not apples. An apple, for some, is regarded an apple a day keeps the dentist away. An apple is one single solid piece of fruit. Whereas an orange, also one fruit, but it has segments. Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, singular, not fruits, not options, not a spiritual pick and mix, as Woolworths would have used to have, and Tesco still have. We're not called to specialise in one quality. I'm a joy person. Or, I'm working on patience, but not gentleness. The Spirit produces one unified fruit with many segments. When you grow in the Spirit, all the segments grow together. Living by the Spirit produces the whole orange. Fruit is a natural product of life, isn't it? A living tree bears fruit because life flows within it. In our house in the New Forest, we did have, I don't know if I think maybe some of them have come down, but there was, it was part of an orchard where our house was built, and so there were four or five apple trees in a line, and they were all different. Now, we didn't have to sort of give them a prod to say, oh, grow the fruit, grow the fruit, grow the fruit. They just naturally did it. Some years, they were more healthier than others. But it's a product of life. A living tree bears fruit because life flows within it. It doesn't not strain or panic. It's not going, I've got to push really hard to produce the fruit. I've not seen trees doing that. It produces because it is alive. In the same way, when we live by the flesh, the natural sin, or the natural product of sin, is just there. When we live by the Spirit, the natural product is Christ-like character. So if you're living by flesh, it's more of a sinful life. Living by the Spirit produces a natural product, Christ-likeness. Now, ideally, we want to be more like this, but I can guarantee a lot of us, me included, will have moments when we're like this. I live a life and sin happens. Okay, I'm not perfect. Shock, horror. And neither are you. And amazingly, That's where God's grace comes in. But our desire should be to be living a spirit-filled life, a life that produces fruit, Christ-like character. The question is not, how do I try harder? The question is, what am I walking by? What am I walking by? The flesh produces striving, comparison, jealousy, anger, impurity, division. The spirit produces love, joy, peace. As I spent time studying, I noted in a number of commentators, they would say, oh, there's nine areas within the fruit of the spirit, and seeing that these nine areas are actually split into three groups of three. One of whom, one of the commentators, divided it this way. The spiritual, the first three are spiritual. The next three cover social graces. And the next three, selfward discipline. So I want to walk through the segments of an orange. Peeled lovely. Thank you, Jill. Jill was saying, oh, I'm the pastor's orange peeler, sort of thing. So she has a new title. She is the person who peels my orange. If I ever want an orange, I have to phone Jill. Jill, I'd like an orange. And she would run round and peel it for me.
Immediately.
No. Now, that one, I am going to, that's the one. This one I've had, this is a fresh one. So that's nice. This one, it feels a bit dry, but I'm just going to peel that, and I'm going to peel that, and that's where I'm going to go. I'm not going to go anymore. I don't want to get it on my shirt. Segments. Love is the first segment identified. The defining segment. Love is the first because it defines all the others. This is sacrificial, self-giving love. The love we see perfectly in Jesus. He sacrificed himself on the cross for us. That is why the majority of us are here. Because we go, yes, I acknowledge that. I love Jesus because he loved me first. Some of you maybe are here and you've never experienced that. I'd encourage you to think about it. Because it was a sacrificial love. You see, living by the flesh says, what do I deserve? What's in it for me? Living by the Spirit says, how can I serve others? How can I serve others? Where love grows, the flesh is losing ground. Where love grows, the flesh is losing ground. I'm married to Sharon. I've had the privilege of walking with Brian and Sylvia. And they're looking to get married. And I've said to them about me and Sharon, we choose to love one another. Oh, Sharon says she chooses to love me. But I know that sometimes she'll do things for me despite her own feelings. She would deny herself to honour me because of the love she has for me. And the same for me. I will do the same for her. I will often not watch action films because I know my wife prefers romantic films that we've seen 15 times. Nothing wrong with that. No, I know, dear. You are so right, dear. But we do. We deny ourselves. And that's what living by the Spirit is doing. Then we have the next segment. Joy. Stability beyond circumstances. The flesh is controlled by mood and situation. The spirit produces joy rooted in Christ. Joy is steady confidence that God is good, even when life is not easy. When we walk by the Spirit, we are not emotionally driven. We're spiritually anchored. We're spiritually anchored. Because, you know, life is full of storms. And as a Christian, I believe that Jesus is the best anchor anyone can have. The best foundation, the best rock that I can stand on. Peace, inner wholeness. The flesh reacts, the spirit rests. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of trust. When we live by the Spirit, anxiety loosens its grip. We respond rather than react. Peace reveals who is truly in control of our hearts. And in case you're not sure who that is, God. Patience. Trusting God's timing. That's hard. That is really hard. The flesh demands immediacy, which is why in society, isn't it? You know, we go to McDonald's, or I go to McDonald's. Some of you may go to McDonald's or somewhere. And you're sitting there thinking, come on, this is meant to be fast food. I've ordered it. I should expect it. And you're thinking, come on, this is taking 5 minutes. What's going on? Excuse me. So, but that's the flesh. We are always, I want it now. It's like when we're, you know, driving, for instance, and you get stuck in traffic. You just get, oh, come on, just move. We had a lovely person driving home yesterday. Sat in the outside lane. I don't think it's anybody here. But they, for some reason, they were sitting in the outside lane driving at 50 miles an hour. And everybody was like flashing because not allowed to undertake. But it was like this person was not moving. So people were just driving up. So I was sat here behind the person flashing them, saying, you might want to move. And it was zoom, zoom, people flying up the inside lane. In the end, I did. And so there's no police. Oh, well. I might have gone round on the inside. But others flashing, you know. So, but there is this demand for intimacy. I'm like that. The Spirit develops endurance. Patience grows when we surrender our timelines and trust God and His process. And I know there are people in this room that would testify to that. That they would say, I have trusted God and in His process and seen it happen. And often it's through hindsight, isn't it? We go, oh, look what God did. It softens our response to difficult people because we remember how patient God has been with us. And I am so grateful for God's patience with me. Because I bet there are times when he's banging his head on the brick wall going, I thought I've told you that many times. Kindness, strength expressed gently. The flesh can be harsh, sharp, dismissive. The Spirit makes us attentive and compassionate. Kindness notices. It moves toward need. It chooses words that heal rather than wound. I still remember when we as a church were encouraged by Kerry Wade to give her chocolate bars. Not for herself, because she felt that she wanted to give them to the people in Peterborough who were homeless. She showed an act of kindness. And it's still in my head. She did something. She demonstrated. Which is why I like to do things where we're watching, doing, speaking. Goodness, integrity in action. The flesh compromises when convenient. I do that. I will compromise, you know, sometimes I do. But the Spirit aligns us with God's standards. I seek to strive for that, but I also, at points in my weakness, compromise. Goodness means loving what is right and having courage to live it, even to be light in dark places. And maybe some of you feel that you're in dark places when you're at work or when you're at home, surrounded by people. But we're living God's standards, not the world's. Faithfulness, steady and reliable. The flesh is inconsistent, driven by feeling. The spirit produces loyalty and dependability. Faithfulness is not dramatic. It's a daily obedience. It is showing up when it would be easier to walk away. It's showing up when it would be easier to walk away. Gentleness. Strength under control. The flesh uses power to dominate. The spirit uses strength to restore. Gentleness is not weakness. It's a power to surrender to God. It corrects without crushing. My car's quite powerful. And you have to, but it's controlled. A horse, Shire horse, big, powerful thing, but it's controlled just by the bit, isn't it, in the mouth and the reins. Self-control, here's one for all of us. Guarding the whole fruit. The flesh is impulsive, the spirit brings mastery. Self-control protects even every other segment. It pauses before reacting. It chooses obedience over appetite. Without self-control, the orange spoils very quickly. Come on. Here's the key. We're not meant to become apple Christians, solid in one area but undeveloped in others. We're not meant to say, I'm loving, but I struggle with self-control. Or, I have faithfulness, but not much gentleness. Joy is really my personality. The Spirit does not grow isolated traits. He grows Christ. And Christ is whole. When you walk by the Spirit, all the segments develop together. You may feel one area stretching more than others, but the Spirit's goal is completeness, maturity, Christ-likeness. We're all called to grow in to be more Christ-like. You see, living by the Spirit is not automatic. It's daily, intentional dependence. The fruit grows as we walk in step with Him, in ordinary life, not just in spiritual moments. So how? Surrender. Surrender daily. Each day we choose flesh or spirit. Before the meetings begin, before the emails are answered, before the house wakes up, before the day feels long or empty, pray. Holy Spirit, lead my responses today. For those working, that surrender may shape how you handle pressure, conflict, or recognition. For those who maybe are retired, it may shape how you approach unstructured time, changing routines, or new opportunities to encourage others. Maybe for those in their 20s, 30s, it may shape decisions about relationships, ambitions, and identity. Daily surrender keeps every segment of the fruit developing together. So surrender. Recognize the flesh quickly. The flesh is often loud and immediate. When irritation rises in traffic, as I've said, or in the office, when comparison creeps in through social media, when disappointment settles in because life feels slower than expected, that's the flesh. Don't justify it, don't excuse it, bring it to the Spirit quickly. Bring it to God. Whether you are managing a team, navigating retirement transitions, building your future, learning to recognize the flesh early prevents it from shaping your character. You see, the Spirit responds differently, with patience instead of frustration, with peace instead of anxiety, with gentleness instead of harshness. Stay connected to the vine. Fruit grows through connection. Time in prayer. Time in Scripture. Obedience in small things. How often is it that our faith grows, isn't it? You start with the small. But as you grow, your faith increases. You then trust with bigger things. A busy professional needs that connection just as much as someone with more flexible time. Those who are in the younger years, making life-defining choices, need deep roots. Someone in later years needs ongoing renewal and joy. We do not produce fruit by striving, but we position ourselves for growth by abiding. An orange tree bears fruit because life flows constantly from its roots. So let's stay connected. Look for balanced growth. Remember, oranges, not apples. We're not called to specialize in one trait. Perhaps you are faithful in your career, but lacking gentleness at home. Perhaps you have kindness, but struggle with self-control in your private habits. Perhaps you are dependable, but anxious about the future. Ask the Spirit, which segment are you developing in me right now? Growth will look different in different seasons of our lives. Perhaps when we were in our 20s, or for those who are in their 20s, self-control and faithfulness may be foundational. In working years, perhaps it's patience and peace, because these things may get stretched daily. In retirement, maybe it's gentleness, joy, and encouragement may shine brightly. You see, the Spirit's goal is always the same: maturity in the whole fruit. You don't find an orange, well, I've never found an orange when you peeled it, and you've got four segments, or this half are really nice and plush, and these ones are only this high. It's all been developed together. It's all grown together. It matured as a whole. Let's remember the goal. The goal is not moral improvement, it's transformation. The Spirit is forming Jesus in you, at work, at home, in study, in retirement, in hidden moments, invisible ones. And Christ is whole. When we live by the Spirit, all the segments grow together. Love shaping joy, joy strengthening peace, peace enabling patience, patience enabling softening gentleness, self-control protecting them all. If the Spirit lives within you, which I believe it does, if you have said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, the Spirit dwells within you. Fruit will grow. It may grow slowly. It may grow through pressure. It may grow differently in each season of life. But where there is life, where there is life, there will be fruit. So let's walk the narrow ledge, not under law, not under license, but by the Spirit. Let's be oranges, not apples. Many segments, one Spirit. Christ formed in us. Amen. So I'll leave you with, as I said earlier, Holy Spirit, help me walk your way today.